ear to hear what your word says tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's amazing how much the sermon that we just heard has to do with the sermon that I'm about to preach. In fact, it's great because I can cut about 15 minutes out of my sermon because it covered a lot of what I wanted to cover, so that's good. But let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 16. The part of the chapter that I was focusing on as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 was the part about fornication. The part about going to the harlot or even just having any kind of a physical relationship. I'm talking about going to bed with someone that you're not married to. And today, it's considered the norm. It's amazing. My wife and I were talking about this week the fact that in Germany, because of course my wife's from Germany and we both speak German, there is no word that either of us know of, and I've studied German extensively and we're both fluent in German. We could not even think of a word for fornication in the German language. It doesn't exist. And that might surprise you, except for the fact that the world today does not use the word fornication at all. So really, we have in the English language de facto no word to describe the sin of people going to bed together that aren't married, because we have a word that people don't use anymore. A word that's not preached anymore. And yet the Bible, the King James Bible that is, uses it again and again and again. It tells us to flee fornication. That means to go running, screaming in the other direction. That's what it means to flee. Fleeing is when someone's chasing you. Fleeing is when you're on the run, and it goes great with what Brett was preaching. You know, forsaking something. Getting away from it. Now, fornication, just to define the word for you, is talking about people that are not married going to bed together. And that's the wording that I'll use in order to spare the children from anything further than that. But everybody knows what I'm talking about who's an adult here. And fornication is a wicked, wicked sin. There's another wicked sin, adultery. And I'm going to preach about those things tonight. Look at Ezekiel chapter 16. This needs to be preached. We need to get this word back into our vocabulary. And let me tell you something. The NIV, the New American Standard, the Living Bible, they all remove this word. And instead, they have replaced it with basically immorality is what they've changed it to. Now, the word morality, and we have several people here that speak Spanish. You know the word morar? M-O-R-A-R? Who knows that word here? You speak Spanish, you know the word morar. What does it mean? What does the word morar mean?
It's a good behavior, but it's really everything that you do.
But what does it mean just morar? It means to live somewhere, right? Like to dwell somewhere. Like if I said moramos, it'd be like we live. It's kind of an archaic word in Spanish. But don't ruin my sermon. No. Morar has to do with where you live. Okay, and basically the word morality is basically a code of conduct based upon where you live, based upon the culture that you live in. Here's another word. Have you heard this word? Ethics? Ethical? And today, instead of religion, you know, people have ethics. But hold on. Do you notice the similarity between the word ethics and ethnicity? Same thing. These are words that define behavior that's established by the society that you live in. And that's what immorality means. Immorality is just a general word, and it's what the world considers okay. God didn't say immoral. No, not one time in the Bible will you find the word morality. Will you find the word ethics. What you'll find is words that clearly tell you what is right and wrong. No matter what society says. And just because society says that it's okay for people to go to bed together that aren't married, God has a word for it. Fornication. And God has a word for the girls and ladies who participate in it. He calls them a whore. And he calls them a harlot. Now you say, wait a minute, Pastor Anderson. Whoa there, tiger. How can you use those words? Because those are Bible words. And today, we want to soften everything up and tone it down in order to make things sound a little bit more palatable so that we can, you know, attract visitors or that people will like us or that we can, you know, just not offend. But hold on a second. Those are two Bible words to describe the fornicator. And you can sit there and say, oh no, that's just somebody who's selling it. That's what the world will tell you, but the Bible has something different to say. The world will say, no, a harlot or a whore is someone who's selling their body, that is not the only way that the Bible uses those words. And I'll prove it to you. Look at Ezekiel chapter 16. It says in Ezekiel 16, and look, you say, what's the purpose of the sermon tonight? To make sin exceeding sinful. To breathe fire about a wicked sin, because I don't want my children or your children or our teens of our church. And listen to me, our teens today, Brett hit on it tonight in the sermon, are getting this pumped into their mind through television nonstop, that it's okay, that it's fine, that it's acceptable, and we need to balance that out by coming to the house of God and getting God's take on it tonight. And God says it's wicked. Now look at this. Well, before we look at that, just let me just prove it to you. I printed this out off the internet, a study that was performed in 2008 on what's played on television. Now, have they cleaned things up since 2008? It's probably worse, if anything, okay, or the same or whatever. But they looked at everything that was on TV during prime time. You know, prime time is when the family is all sitting around the couch with their popcorn. And this is basically like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. It was all before 9 o'clock. It's all like 6, 7, 8. These are all your sitcoms and your TV shows, all the fun shows. And this was on ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC. And it was basically from September 23rd to October 22nd, 2007. I'm sorry, I said 2008. But they watched 207 hours of TV. Okay, a primetime TV over that 1 month of time. And this is called the family hour of TV. Basically, it's when the kids are home and everybody's watching TV as a family. And it basically said that there were 74, in this 200 hours of TV, there were 74 references to just a list of disgusting things, none of which I will even mention from the pulpit. But if you've ever read Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20, where God just goes into every form of deviancy and wickedness imaginable, I mean, things that are beyond fornication, beyond adultery, just the most obscene types of things that no one would even mention, that I won't even mention tonight. There were 74 references to these kind of just bizarre, what they call here in this study, bizarre practices. 74. That means if you watch 2 hours of TV, basically you've seen it. Because it's pretty much every other hour this stuff is being referenced. It explained that there were 27 times as many mentions of things that were bizarre and wicked to just a normal married couple was mentioned. 27 times more everything that was wrong. Adultery was mentioned 4 times as much as people just being married. And listen, TV is filled with adultery. TV is filled with fornication. And the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. My eyes are not going to be full of adultery tonight. Amen. And if you're right with God, your eyes won't be full of adultery too. But you say, why do you need to preach this, Pastor Anderson? Because our children today and our teens today and our young men today and young ladies today are filling their minds with the world. And even those who have cut the cord to the television, still, it's pumped at us from all sides. We need to go to God's house and figure out what the Bible says. Look at Ezekiel chapter 16. And I'll not re-preach the sermon that we just heard, but it actually is a good introduction to my sermon tonight. Verse 26 says this. Let's get God's take on this. Let's get God's attitude on this. You want to talk about the Bible sounding harsh? Let's read Ezekiel chapter 16. And this is God's word. It says in verse 26, thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians thy neighbors, great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Okay, so whoredom is referring to what? Fornication. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. He's saying, look, even the Philistines are ashamed of the stuff you're into. He says in verse 28, thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast insatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldest not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied therewith. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, and that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine hand high placed in every street, and has been not been as an harlot. Now here's where you say, oh, Pastor Anderson, you're wrong. It's only people who are doing this for pay. He says this, thou hast not been as a harlot, in that thou scornest hire. Hire is what? Being paid. He said, and that thou scornest hire, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. They give gifts to all whores. Okay? But thou givest gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredoms. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms. And that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee, therefore thou art contrary. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. He's saying, you're worse than a whore. Because he said, at least the whore is getting paid. That's what he said. I mean, did we all read the same passage right there? He said, look, you're worse. He said, a whore is somebody who sells their body. He says, you're not even selling it. He's saying, you're wicked. He said, you're a harlot. Hear the word of the Lord. He said in verse 36, thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children which thou hast given to them. Behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated, I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may all see thy nakedness. And I will judge thee as women that break wedlock, and shed blood are judged, and I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy. Now notice what he says here. I think it's interesting in verse 37 where he talks about thy lovers, and he says, all them that thou hast loved, and all them that thou hast hated. If you go up to the top, it's the top of my page, because I only printed out part of the chapter. If you go up the chapter up to verse number, I lost my place, but it talked about those that have hated you and so forth, and you hated them. Basically what the world calls love. You know what I mean? It's not love. And that's what he's explaining here, the hatred between these people. You know, they play the whore, and then they hate each other and so forth. But what I'm trying to show you here tonight is that God does not consider this a small thing. God uses very strong language. He calls it filthy. He calls it whoredom. He calls those who participate in it a whoremonger as a man or a whore as a woman. And today those are words that are literally considered bad language. Like literally, the world would consider me cussing right now because I'm preaching God's word. And you say, Pastor Anderson, I don't like this kind of preaching. No, you don't like the book of Ezekiel. Is what you don't like. In fact, I was making my sermon and my son was looking over my shoulder and he said, wow, Dad, he said, you're really going to some obscure passages tonight. Because he saw that I was in Ezekiel, I was in Nahum, I was in, you know, let's bring these passages back.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, oh, these obscure passages. They're obscure because nobody's preaching them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Let's preach them. Let's get these out in the You know, it's funny. These verses are going to become popular. Because we're going to preach them. You know, because I'm tired of a society that just says anything goes. That just anything goes. And they use what's called, what a psychologist would call the Hegelian dialectic. Where they show us such extreme filth that fornication doesn't seem that bad to us anymore. But you know what? This is what God thinks about fornication. It's right here. It's in Ezekiel chapter 16. And it's not Pastor Anderson that's the problem. It's Ezekiel chapter 16 that you have a problem with. And so let's keep reading. Look down at verse number 44. It says this, behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter, and loatheth, the word loatheth means hates, loatheth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite, and your father an Amorite. You see, the Bible teaches here that a woman who commits adultery against her husband hates her husband and hates her children also. That's into adultery. We're not onto that yet. We're mainly on fornication. But look, if you would, at chapter 23, just a few pages to the right in your Bible. Read the book of Ezekiel, by the way. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. We need to get back to these so-called obscure books and read them, learn them, study them. They're God's word. And so let's study them together. Look at Ezekiel 23, verse 35. It says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast forgotten me and cast me behind thy back, therefore bear thou also thy lewdness and thy whoredoms. The Lord said moreover unto me, Son of man, wilt thou judge Ahola and Oholibamah? No, God, I don't judge anybody. I think judging is wrong. Yea, declare unto them their abominations." This is spoken to a preacher. He says, when are you going to start judging, Ezekiel? Or have you been listening to all these neo-evangelicals who told you it's wrong to judge? Now, if you were here when the sermon started, did you not hear in 1 Corinthians 6 where God commanded us to judge about 5 times? He said, judge not after the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. He said, first get the beam out of your own eye so that you can see clearly to get the mote out of thy brother's eye. And so, he said, judge, declare unto them their abominations. Tell them their abominations, he's saying. Verse 37, that they have committed adultery. Tell them they've committed adultery, Ezekiel. And blood is in their hands. And with their idols have they committed adultery. And have also caused their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass for them through the fire to devour them. That's abortion. Yep. Verse 38. Moreover, this have they done unto me. They have defiled my sanctuary in the same day, and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus have they done in the midst of mine house. I wonder how many women have committed abortion and then came to church the next day. Right. That's what he's talking about. Isn't the Bible relevant? He says, quit profaning my sanctuary, you whore, he's saying. You murderer. He's saying, you need to get right with God. Don't just come in here and waltz in here and act like you're right with God when you're a fornicator. The Bible says, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. Nor with the covetous, nor with idolaters. He said, I'm not just talking about out in the world. But he said, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous. He's talking about Christians now, not unbelievers. But he says, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or a covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? Do not ye judge them that are within? Do not ye judge them that are within? Wherefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Bible preaching, my friend. Welcome to church. It says in verse number, what verse are we on? Verse 40. And furthermore, that you have sent for men to come from far, unto whom a messenger was sent. And lo, they came, for whom thou didst wash thyself, paintedst thine eyes. You know, this is basically your eyeliner and mascara and whatever. He said, painted thy eyes and deckest thyself with ornaments, and sattest upon a stately bed, and a table prepared before it, whereupon thou hast set mine incense and mine oil. You know what God's explaining here? How the devil will try to make sin look good. You know what I mean? Like he tries to dress it up. Like it's whoredom. It's lewd. It's filth. It's disgusting. But no. I took a shower first. No, I put on makeup and looked good. No, I perfumed the bed. And we had clean sheets on the bed. And oh, we had decorations and incense. That's the devil's ploy. He makes everything look so good, doesn't he? On the billboards and Hollywood and Madison Avenue. Boy, he makes sin look good. If it didn't look good, people wouldn't be doing it. Boy, those magazine covers look great. But what they don't show you is the filthiness. What they don't show you is the end result. What they don't show you is the result of sin in your life. We can get into that a little more later. But see how God, see how the devil and the wicked people of this world want to dress up and they want to polish the apple, don't they? Before they give it to Eve to bite into it and damn mankind. You know, they basically want to polish the apple first. And so it says, and a voice of multitude being at ease, verse 42, was with her. And with the men of the common sort were brought Sabaeans from the wilderness, which put bracelets upon their hands and beautiful crowns upon their heads. Then said I unto her that was old in adulteries, will they now commit whoredoms with her, and she with them? Yet they went in unto her, as they go in unto a woman that playeth the harlot. So went they in unto Ahola and unto Oholibamah, the lewd women. And the righteous men, they shall judge them. Did you get that? The righteous men, they shall judge them after the manner of adulteresses, and after the manner of women that shed blood. because they are adulteresses, and blood is in their hands. For thus saith the Lord God, I will bring up a company upon them, and will give them to be removed and spoiled. And the company shall stone them with stones, and dispatch them with their swords. That was the 3,000 that was basically explained in Exodus chapter 32. But they shall slay their sons and their daughters, and burn up their houses with fire. Thus will I cause lewdness to cease out of the land, that all women may be taught not to do after your lewdness. You say, why is this chapter in the Bible? It's right there in verse 48. That all women may be taught not to do after your lewdness. That's what the sermon is tonight. Teaching other women, teaching teenage girls, and even my young toddler girls. Boy, we're starting them young. That they'll learn that is not the way a Christian lady behaves. Not to do after this lewdness. That's what the Bible preaches. And you know what? I thank God that I go to a church where my children hear this kind of preaching. Because you know what? There's one reason why I didn't commit fornication as a teenager. There's only one. Let me tell you something. The temptation was there. The temptation will always be there for young people in every generation. The temptation was there. And you know what? You know why I stayed pure as a teenager and why I went to the wedding altar pure? You know what? It wasn't because I just wanted to save myself for that special someone. Now, that's a great reason. But let me, and now I understand why that's a blessing. Now I understand why that's important. But in my young 15, 16, 17-year-old mind, I wasn't smart enough to comprehend the fact that I wanted to save myself for the person to whom I would be married one day. I wasn't smart. You know what it was? It was sermons like this. It was God's wrath being preached to me, and I literally just was scared to death to commit sin. You know, and I just thought, you know, okay, I've done wrong things, but you know what? Committing fornication, I heard all these passages that I'm preaching to you right now. What Brett preached, what others have preached. That's what kept me straight. That's what kept me on the right path, and I thank God for it today. I thank God I didn't sow my wild oats. And it was preaching like this that did it. And you know what? If you're smart, you'll have your kids in this kind of preaching. So they don't end up out there doing the most wicked imaginable things like the world is doing today. Let's get back into the Bible here. He said, thus will I cause lewdness to cease out of the land, that all women may be taught not to do after your lewdness. And it's funny how the parents are the ones sometimes who can't handle this kind of preaching. Right. And the grandparents. And the parents. When really, they're the ones who you think would be saying, did you hear that, son? Did you hear that, daughter? Listen, are you hearing this? You know what I mean? Even if I didn't agree with any of this, I would just bring my kids just to have somebody just rip their face on this. Because of the wickedness that's going on today in the world. It's true. And they shall recompense your lewdness upon you, and ye shall bear the sins of your idols, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God, he said. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, we talked a lot about fornication. Says in verse number 3 of Jeremiah 3, therefore the showers have been withholden, and there have been no latter rain. He's talking about the blessings of God being withheld. He says in verse 3b, and thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. You know, no shame, no sorrow, no remorse, no repentance. Turn, if you would, to Nahum. Nahum. One of those obscure books, Nahum, at the end of the Old Testament. And the funny thing is, you know, my son pointed that out, but really he knows these books. I mean, he knows where they're at, but a lot of people don't even know that there is a book called Nahum. But let me read another verse for you, Proverbs 30, verse 20, while you're turning to Nahum. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. Isn't that the truth? Justifying adultery, justifying fornication, justifying whoredom and harlotry. Look, if you would, at Nahum chapter 3, verse 1. Woe to the bloody city! It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip, and the noise of the rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing horses, and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses because
of the multitude of the whoredoms, of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft that selleth nations through her whoredom and families through her witchcraft. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame. Do you ever wonder why there's so much bloodshed and warfare in this world? Part of it is because of the whoredoms and the harlotry and the wickedness. And there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's why we live in a world without peace. It's the judgment of God. He said in verse 5, I'm against thee. In verse 6, he said, and I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile and will set thee as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, America is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? When shall I see comforters for thee? You say, well, it says Nineveh. But you know what? It's America. Yep. America is the well-favored harlot of the world. Right. America is the one who has caused the nations and caused them to go into sorcery and adultery and witchcraft through Hollywood. I mean, do you know that if you're in Germany or Hungary or India or Africa, you're watching movies from one place and it's Los Angeles, California.
Yeah.
It's true. You think that they're making a bunch of cool new movies in Germany that everybody's going out to watch? Because they're not. Did you know that my wife used to work in the movie industry before she got saved? Who knew that? Nobody. My wife used to work for a company called Kinobel. And she worked for this company, and this company basically, they took Hollywood movies, and they, you know, gave them German subtitles, and or not German subtitles, excuse me. They put in new voices, you know, they put in German voices. So basically all the actors are speaking German and everything, and so forth. Because they dub in the voices, and they make it look pretty good and everything. And they basically then issue those movies out in Germany. They're not having a huge movie industry in Germany. It's just one where they take Hollywood. And they take those movies, and we really lead the way. We pretty much teach the world how to be a Lindsay Lohan. You know, that's what America does. We pretty much teach the whole world how to be like Britney Spears, how to be Paris Hilton, you know, how to be a drunken whore, you know, and how to be a whoremonger, and how to be in a queer little, effeminate, sissified little faggot. You know, that's what we teach the world from our whoredoms. And you know what? God's judgment and God's wrath is upon all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. It's the truth. Let's turn, if we would. We saw Nahum chapter 3. Let's go to Jeremiah. I mean, it's just like, where do we go? I mean, you know, I don't even think I can get through all this tonight. You know, I'm running out of time. Where do we go next? Let's go to Proverbs 7. Why not? You know, there's so many places to go. I don't know what else to do. I mean, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words, Jesus said, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of the Father with the holy angels. That's why he said in 1 John, boy, it's on the tip of my tongue, that we may not be ashamed before him at his coming. Give me a second. I got to memorize that. Just got to get it in my mind here. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. God says, look, you're living in a wicked and adulterous and crooked and perverse nation. You're living in a sinful place. We're living in an adulterous nation. And he said, don't be ashamed of me and my words. They ought to be ashamed. You know, we're ashamed of preaching. I mean, isn't that sad? I mean, isn't it sad that basically the world just puts out their movies, they put out their trash, Christians today will go on their little Twitter and their Facebook and whatever other thing and say, oh, I'm going to see this stupid, filthy, pornographic movie right now. Isn't that the truth? Hey, I just got back from this filthy, pornographic, smutty movie, skin flick. Now, that's not what they say. They just say, I got back from, and then they just name the movie. But that's what it is. I mean, that's what they're going to see. And they're not ashamed. But then they'll get ashamed of this kind of preaching because of their visitor. You know, they'll get ashamed of this kind of preaching because, oh, man, I don't know. Why don't you get ashamed of sin? Why don't you get ashamed of adultery? Why don't you get ashamed of fornication instead of getting ashamed of the Bible? And Jesus says, you know what? You're ashamed of my word. You're ashamed of Ezekiel 16. I'm ashamed of you. He said, I'm ashamed to even call you my child. I'm ashamed that you're one of my sons and one of my daughters if you're ashamed of the Bible. He said, I'm ashamed of you then. Fine. I mean, isn't that a pretty... Let me read it again. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words. And by the way, this whole book is God's word. Amen. It's the word of God. And if there's not, if there's a part that's not God's word, let's rip it out right now. You know what I mean? This is God's word, isn't it? These are the words of Christ. And he said, if you're ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Where did I have you turn? You know, before we go there, though, let me just read this for you. Leviticus 20, verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Now, let me just tell you something right now. I hate adultery. I hate it. There's nothing more destructive. I mean, I hate it. I mean, whenever I read the Bible and somebody commits adultery, I get mad. You know, it's so wicked. It's so ungodly. It's so destructive. I mean, fornication is bad, but adultery is a lot worse. Let me tell you something. When I got married to my wife, I swore an oath before God to have and to hold from this day forward. I said, to keep me only unto her till death us do part. And you know what? If I were to go out and to commit adultery with another woman besides my wife, I mean, think about the trust that I've broken. Think about the violation. Or if my wife were to commit adultery with a man, think about the trust that we have. Think about the bond that we have, the love that we have, that could never be repaired if we violated that, if we broke it. You know what? In Germany, because we were talking about the German language earlier, there's a word for adultery in the Bible and elsewhere. It's called Ehebruch, which basically means marriage break or breach of marriage. But you know what? They don't use that word anymore in Germany. It's falling out of fashion. Now they just call it Fremdgehen, which basically just means, you know, I don't go back to the Greek. I just go to German and other languages. And you know, instead of Ehebruch, like breaking the marriage, like breach of marriage, basically they use this word, Fremdgehen, just to basically to go foreign. You know, just a more benign term. And today we do the same thing. We call it having an affair. Having an affair is when you're putting on a tea party. Okay? That's really what having an affair is. But no, having an affair is to go break the bond of your marriage, destroy trust, hate your children, hate your husband, and go out and be a whore, and they just call it having an affair. Makes me sick. Don't ever use that word in my presence. Don't ever say to me, so-and-so had an affair. I don't want to hear that kind of garbage. Say, so-and-so is an adulteress. Yeah. So-and-so is an adulterer. So-and-so is a whore. So-and-so is a whoremonger. So-and-so has defiled his marriage. So-and-so doesn't respect God. So-and-so hates his children. And adultery is disgusting. It's horrible. I mean, you know, I can't imagine anything worse. I mean, literally, I would rather have my wife just take a gun and shoot me than to go out and commit adultery. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, it breaks the trust. I mean, it's so painful. I can't even imagine it. You know what I mean? And do people stop and think about this when they're at the water cooler and it's late night and everybody else has gone home for the night at the office and Mr. You know, piece of trash, fornicator with this little purple sweet tie is putting the moves on my wife. Oh yeah, my wife doesn't go to work because I want my wife in the home because I don't want her out there with a bunch of guys. And today we have more adultery today. You going to dispute this? Because I know literally scores of people personally who've committed adultery or their spouse has committed adultery. This is epidemic today in America.
Right.
It's epidemic. It's on a rampage. I mean, I can tell you Christian after Christian after Christian after church member, people that I've been to church with. I mean, if I just went back to where I went to church several years ago, I could just go through and just tell you the adultery after adultery after adultery after adultery after adultery. adultery after adultery. And you know where it starts? Because we put a bunch of men and women hanging out together all day in the workforce. And you know, I'm sorry, but I don't like it. I wish I could just go work with men all day. Who's with me on that? If you're a man. You know, let's just go work with men. That's why I thank God I've never had a cubicle job. And you know, if you have a job like that, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, today you just got to work where you can work pretty much. But let me tell you something. I've always tried to work amongst men as much as I can. But you know what? Even in my job, I'm dealing with women constantly. Constantly. I mean, I'm on the phone. Every company you call, you know, you're on the phone with women. You go there, it's women. You know, that's why I love construction. Usually the only girl out there is pretty butch anyway. You know what I mean? But honestly, you know, basically just you work around men. I like that. And look, I'm not preaching against you if you've been put in a position by our society where basically, you know, you're a single parent or your husband has left you or whatever the case, whatever reason why you're in that position. But you know what? Are you going to dispute with me that in a perfect world, men go out and pay the bills and mom stays home with the kids? I mean, obviously that's God's original plan. And basically through other things, we get off into all these other situations. And what we have today, we have police officers. Literally. Let's get on them for a while. We have police officers, literally, where a man and a woman are partners. And they spend 8 hours a day driving around, hanging around, going out to eat together. You know, and they're married to someone else at home. And how much time do they really spend with their wife, you know? And I'm going to tell you something. I want to flee fornication. I want to flee adultery. And I'm going to tell you something. That's why, if you know me, you know I don't pal around with women. I don't do it. I mean, I will not be with women except in a public place where there's, you know, there's accountability and everything's out in the open. I've had women come here and say, can I talk to you in private? I say, this is as private as I get. Let's step 8 feet from the group. Okay, this is private. I mean, literally, women will say, well, you know, I want to talk to you in private. I want to get some counseling. No, you don't need counseling. You need to read the Bible and do it. And come to church 3 times a week and go soul winning and you'll be just fine. Counseling. Go to a stinking psychiatrist if you want counseling. He'll put you on drugs and then you can shut up and take your drugs and get out of my sight. I don't need somebody coming to me and get me in their office somewhere and then tell me, oh, he tried to do this or whatever. No thanks. And anybody who knows me, I don't go to women's houses. You know, it's like somebody else has got to be there. You know what I mean? I went to visit her mom one time, and I said, hey, call the neighbor so-and-so over, because if I go over there, somebody else is going to be there. You know, and that's a woman that's old enough to be my mother. And I said, you know what? I don't want to be in a position like that. But you say, and I'm not saying follow my rules. I don't care what you do with your life. I'm just telling you that's how vigilant I am. I'm vigilant about it because I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to open the door. You say, I'd never do anything like that. Let him think if he stand and take heed lest he fall. And when you start hanging around with the opposite gender all the time, when you start getting real friendly with some woman at work, guys, you start getting real, and she's married or whatever, you know, and then women are getting real friendly with a guy at work, nip it in the bud, and get away from that situation. You need to keep business business. And not get too close to be. Look, let me tell you something, guys. When you get married, all those, you know, when before you're married, you have a lot of friends that are. I know you guys don't, but you know, you have a lot of friends that are of the female gender, don't you? I had a lot of friends that were girls, but you know, when I got married, I made a decision. This is my one female friend. Amen. You know what I mean? I stopped palling around with all the other girls in my life.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, these are my only female friends. My wife, my two sisters, and my mother. Those are the females that you will find me palling around with. If you ever see me, and somebody tried to accuse me of inappropriate behavior one time, because they said, yeah, he was with this young girl, and driving around. It was my sister. Her name's Lisa, okay? You know, and they said, like, that guy! And somebody said, hello, that's his sister. And if you see me palling around with a young girl with long, dark hair, that's my sister. Especially if it's in Sacramento, California. And so, I don't pal around with girls. I don't call up girls, hey, how you doing? Just wanted to talk. Hey, you want to go out to eat? And let's, you know. My female companionship is satisfied by one person. And if you're smart, you'll make that same decision. And guys, guess who her male companionship, you're never going to get satisfied by. me. And it'll be a cold day in Hades. While I'm because I'm going into all different languages tonight. Hey, it's going to be a cold day in Sheol when she is palling around with some guy and they're just friends. Like hell you're just friends. Hey, this is my wife, I'm her husband, and it's a two-way street. We are only for each other. We don't even want to get anywhere close to adultery. And you know as well as I do that these bunch of shows on TV that are take place in a doctor's office or an emergency room or a firehouse or a police station, what does the plot consist about? Adultery. Yep. It's true. You know, whenever it's some, you know these soap operas, you know these stupid soap operas where it's like an ER, you know, and it's all these really debonair guys, you know, and they're wearing their stupid little green outfit. You know what I'm talking about? And all the girls have their little pajamas on that they, you know, their little nurse outfit that looks like pajamas or something. And, you know, they got all their little outfits on. Why? You know, I had this one doctor that I liked. You know what I liked about him? He just wore normal clothes.
It was cool.
He would just come, I mean, he'd be dressed like you are right now. I mean, just wear like a polo shirt. You know, he didn't like put on these weird clothes and everything. But he'd come in, he's just wearing normal clothes and whatever. But, you know, they're in their little, and they look so cool with their little stethoscope around their neck. And you know, she's married, and he's putting the moves on her, and he's married. And it's so sad. They're torn. It's not sad. It's disgusting. It's evil.
Amen.
It's horrible. You know, they don't show you the lives that are destroyed. And today, just divorce is fine. Adultery is fine. Everything's fine. And the government promotes it. I mean, I could just go down, my wife could literally just go down to the courthouse today and just say, like, I'm sick of my husband, give me a divorce. They'll give her a divorce. And then I'd have to, like, pay her money. You know what I mean? Seriously. I mean, literally, she just went down to the courthouse and just said, I'm a whore, and I want to get a divorce and whatever. Just, can you make him pay me money every month? They'd do it. Because our society has become wicked. But this church is never going to be a wicked church. And you know what? If somebody is here that's a Christian, and I'm not talking about a brand new believer or somebody that we just baptized last week, but if somebody's called a brother and they're a fornicator, they're getting booted from this church.
Amen. That's right. Thank you.
And if they're a drunk, they will be booted. And I don't care whether other... But Pastor Ashley, I don't think independent Baptist churches excommunicate people or kick people out of the church. I don't know if that's a power of Baptist polity. You know what? It's the Bible. Because I don't want my children sitting next to a fornicator in church, unless that fornicator just got saved and they just haven't learned yet and they just need to grow. You know, we had a couple come to this church. There was a fornicating couple, and I basically told them, you know, they kept coming. I tried to preach to them. I tried to, you know, I tried to reach them. I tried to love them. But after a few months, I just sat down with that couple and said, you either need to get married, or you need to split up from one another, or you need to get out of the church. You know what I mean? Because they'd had plenty of time to come around to this. And it got to a point where it was like, look, this is not a part of our church. Oh, but you're losing people. Good. Good. Where did I have you turn? Somebody help me out. Proverbs chapter 7. It says this, Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 9. In the twilight, your stupid little favorite book. The Bible has all the answers. In the twilight. And by the way, you think that's funny, but honestly, you know, isn't it always about the darkness? In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. You know, glorifying darkness, right? Glorifying evil. Because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's why I love Phoenix, Arizona. The sun shines every day for like, you know, what, 18 hours a day. There's no cloud cover at all. This is a bright place. I love it. I'm not, I don't have anything to hide. But he says in verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. So basically, God looks at the clothing of many young ladies today, and he describes it as the attire of a harlot. So it's possible to be wearing clothing that's the attire of our... What do you think that kind of clothing is? A long, modest dress? The attire of a harlot. You say, well, I don't know what it is. Well, go open your closet and see if you can figure out what it is. Go down to the mall here and see if you can figure out what it is. Could it be the short shorts? Could it be the slit in the skirt that goes all the way up to the waist? You know, could it be the tight-fitting clothing? Could it be the low-cut top? Could it be... You say, are you telling us that? No, I'm not telling you what it is. I'm just asking you what it is. What is it? It's a woman who's trying to get men to look at her body, because that's how a harlot advertises. And so, ladies, if it's not for sale, take down the for sale sign. If it's not for sale, then take down the for sale sign. You know, I want my wife to wear a big sign that says sold. You know they have on the realtor when it gets sold? It's like, sold. You know, she's not for sale. And you know what? My daughters are going to grow up and dress in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Not in a way that's saying, look at me, car that's driving by. That's what a harlot dress is, right? Look at me, car that's driving by. Have you ever driven by and seen a harlot by the side of the road, a literal prostitute? I've seen it many times. You know? And I've seen other girls wearing the attire of a harlot probably 10,000 times, you know? But he said, she is loud and stubborn. By the way, these are not attributes to look for in a future wife, guys. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without. Now in the streets. And lieth in wait at every corner. You say, how can one person be in wait at every corner at the same time? Because they're a dime a dozen is what he's saying. He's not saying this one particular woman's at every corner. He's saying, just go pick a corner. You'll find one. Just go to Phoenix. You'll find some girl that's in the attire of a harlot. It's not that hard to go to ASU and just find a girl in the attire. She's at every corner. And she's more than willing, because she'll walk up at verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him. I mean, here's a guy just dum-de-dum-dum-dum-dum walking down the street. And basically, come here, honey, we got to demonstrate this. Come on up here, honey. You know, see, just come on. You know, dum-de-dum-dum-dum. Come on, do it. Yeah, and she just comes up and says... Yeah. Think about it. Before he even knew what hit him. Right? I mean, isn't that what it says? Yep. She basically just grabs him and kisses him. Beware of girls that just come up to you and kiss you. I know. I know this happens to you guys all the time. Watch out for it, okay? But it says that she caught him and kissed him and with an impudent face said to him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Oh, she's a Christian girl. Oh, okay, this girl's a Christian. She paid her vows. That's talking about religion. Do you realize that? I have peace offerings with me. Oh, great. Great, she's a Christian girl. A Christian girl who just grabs you and kisses you is not the right girl. And if she's loud and stubborn and dresses like a harlot, are you listening? He says, therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. Yeah, right. You just happened to be the one walking by at that time. It's random. But she acts like, oh yeah, it's just you. You're the only guy I've ever kissed after 5 seconds of knowing them. Now let me just give you a tip. A girl who kisses you after you've known her for about 5 or 10 seconds, she's done that before. You're not the first one. I mean, has anybody seen girls act like this before where they just, you know what I mean? You're not the only one, okay? She didn't diligently look for you. Where have you been all her life? It says in verse number 16, I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry. Again, the devil polishes the apple, doesn't he? With carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon to cover up the stench of my own filth. That's what it, I mean, I'm just filling in the gap here, you know? You know why she put a bunch of perfume and myrrh and aloe and cinnamon? Because she's probably filled with every STD under the sun. You know what I mean? And so she's just trying to basically cover it up. Come, Let us take our fill of what? Love? God is love. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. Whosoever loveth is born of God and knows God. Love is not adultery. Love is not whoredom. The world could call it making love, but it's not. Love is the fulfillment of the law, Romans 13. Love, you know what my wife and I experience? That's love. Because we're married, because we love each other. Because it's a monogamous relationship. That's love. Shacking up is shacking up. It's not love. But they'll call it love, won't they? Somebody said, well, I don't even want to go to that. Verse 18, come let us take our fill of love in the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman is not at home. He's gone a long journey. Now the word goodman, I've studied this, I've tried to figure this out. It can either mean husband or it could mean her dad. I hope she's not talking about her husband, because that's really bad. But either way, you know, she's basically got no accountability, no adult, right? And this is why I don't believe in women just going out and turning 18, they just go get an apartment somewhere. You know what I mean? At least dad or husband would have been here. This might not have happened. But basically, you know, dad, he's gone. Husband or whoever is just gone. Long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him, and he'll come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, because that's where it starts, in your heart. Don't even watch that show. Don't even talk to these people. He said, let not the heart decline to her ways, nor go astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men, tough guy, who thinks you're so tough and you're so spiritual that you're not going to, you know, fall into sin. She's cast down many wounded, yet many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Job 24:15, you don't have to turn there. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me in disguise of his face. But you know what God sees?
Right, amen.
The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, the Bible says, beholding the good and the evil. Now, I don't have anything else to say. I mean, I have a lot more scriptures, but you know what? The Bible has said it all tonight. You say, what was the sermon about? One thing. Get it in your mind that what the world calls just whoops, you know, a little accident or a little indiscretion, a little affair, or just, well, you know, he's just young, he's just sowing his wild oats, he's just experimenting, or he's just basically trying to figure out who he is right now. The Bible's got some pretty harsh words, doesn't it? Filth, vile, abomination, whore. I mean, I don't think any woman, you know, it reminds me of the from the 80s, you know, no kid ever grows up and says, I want to be a junkie. You remember those commercials they used to play? I don't think any girl ever wants to grow up and say, I want to be a whore. I don't think any girl, I mean, even the most loose and lewd women, they probably wouldn't want to be called whore or harlot. And you know what, girls? Just remember, that's what God calls it. Stay pure. Stay clean. And you say, Pastor, I'm offended because I've done these things. I've committed fornication. I've committed adultery in the past. You're condemning me. No. And you know what? If your heart is right with God, you'll be glad that I'm preaching to the young people that they don't make the mistakes that you made when you were younger. You know what I mean? And today, even young people have made a lot of these mistakes already. But you know what? The ones whose heart is in the right place with God, instead of just thinking, oh, how dare he? How dare he? And by the way, the he is God, not me.
Right.
Oh, how dare he call me that? How dare he preach and say that it's wrong and that it's vile and dirty? It's not that bad. We're all sinners and it's not that bad. You know what? The person whose heart is right with God says, you know what? If I've done it in the past, I'm going to confess and forsake it, right? And find mercy. And you know what? I don't think you should beat yourself up if you've done any of these things. The Bible says forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I don't think you should feel bad, because you know what? Jesus paid it all. Jesus died on the cross for all your sins. If you're saved, it's forgiven. Confess it, forsake it, move on with your life. I'm not saying to beat yourself up about it. Live for God. There was a woman in the Bible in John chapter 4 that had literally been married and divorced 5 times and then was living with a man she wasn't married to. But you know what? After she got saved, she ended up getting a whole bunch of people saved. And God really used her greatly. And you know what? Even while she was in that condition, Jesus took the time to go specifically and talk to her. He still loved her. You know, isn't God gracious and merciful to us? Even when we've done wrong, He still loves us. He still wants people saved. You know, He still reaches out to them. But if your heart's right with God tonight and you've done these things in your past, you'll say, you know what? What I did was wrong. And I'm sorry. And I'm going to be clean from here on out. But thank the Lord that young people are hearing this preaching before they've made these mistakes. You know, instead of saying, oh man, you're offending me. No, thank God they're hearing it. You know what I mean? Thank God that they can live a clean life. Thank God that they won't make the mistakes that I've made. You know, is what you ought to be thinking if that's your boat. Don't think about yourself so much. You know, you come to church, I want to get something out of the sermon. You know what? Think about other people. This church is not all about you, and it's not all about me. It's about the group here. It's about the congregation. And we need this kind of preaching. And I'll say this, any preacher who won't preach these chapters, Ezekiel 16 and Ezekiel 23, is not right with God. It should be called Censored Baptist. Yeah, I go over to Censored Baptist Church. Edited. I go to Edited Baptist. Yeah, I go to Pastor, I go to Pastor Cut and Paste, the part that he likes. Oh yeah, you go to Pick and Choose Baptist? Oh yeah, okay. You talk about pastor censorship? Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he really says nothing. And so let's just get our mind right here. And I'm not saying to go out and rip people's faces about this, because you know what? The Bible says that when we're dealing with unsaved people, we should determine not to know anything among them except just Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm not into all this stupid street preaching and going out and screaming on a street corner that everybody's a whore and whatever. No, we're going to go bring them the good news, the gospel. But let me tell you something. In our lives, in our church, in our family, we will fight against fornication and adultery and lasciviousness in this church and in my house and in this family. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we love You and we thank You for the forgiveness that's in Jesus Christ. God, thank You so much that even people who have committed fornication and who have even committed adultery and who've even done everything mentioned tonight, many of them have received Jesus Christ as their Savior and are on their way to heaven. And you know, many of them even committed many of these sins after they received the Lord Jesus Christ. They committed adultery or committed fornication. Thank God that all of our sins are under the blood, past, present, and future. You truly are a merciful and gracious God. But Father, help us to realize what You think about these awful, wicked sins. Help us never to watch it on TV. Help us never, ever to even entertain the thought of committing fornication or adultery, because we will be punished severely in this life, dear God. Help us to keep that ever before us. And we love You for Your grace and mercy and forgiveness. And in Jesus' name we pray.